Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from the book of Ezekiel, from the 37th chapter. George has the New Revised Standard Version on the screen for you to follow along. I'm going to be reading from the Message this morning, and you're welcome to follow along with the Pew Bible on page 1052, whichever one you feel most comfortable with. But let us start with Ezekiel. God grabbed me. God's spirit took me up and set me down in the middle of an open plain strewn with bones. He led me around and among them, a lot of bones. There were bones all over the plain, dry bones bleached by the sun. And he said to me, "Son of man, can these bones live?" I said, "Master God, only you know that." And God said to me, "Prophesy over these bones, dry bones. Listen to the message of God." God, the master, told the dry bones, "Watch this. I'm bringing the breath of life to you and you'll come to life. I'll attach sinews to you, put meat on your bones, cover you with skin, and breathe life into you. You'll come alive and you'll realize that I am God." I prophesied just as I'd been commanded. As I prophesied, there was a sound and, oh, rustling. The bones moved and came together, bone to bone. I kept watching. Sinews formed, then muscles on the bones, then skin stretched over them, but they had no breath in them. And he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, tell the breath. God, the master, says, come from the four winds, come breath, breathe on these slain bodies, breathe life." So I prophesied, just as he commanded me. The breath entered them and they came alive and they stood up on their feet, a huge army. Then God said to me, "Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Listen to what they're saying. Our bones are dried up. Our hope is gone. There's nothing left of us. Therefore, prophesy, tell them, God the master says, I'll dig up your graves and bring you out alive, O my people. Then I'll take you straight to the land of Israel. When I dig up graves and bring you out as my people, you'll realize that I am God. I'll breathe my life into you and you'll live. Then I'll lead you straight back to your land and you'll realize that I am God. I've said it and I'll do it. God's decree." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Our second scripture comes from the gospel according to John. It's familiar to many of us, and in your pew Bibles, it's on page 1307. I will be reading from the New Revised Standard Version the words that are on the screen. So sit and allow these words to fall upon your ears, that you may hear what God needs to say to us today. "Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent a message to Jesus, 'Lord, he whom you love is ill.' But when Jesus heard it, he said, 'This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it.' Accordingly, though Jesus loved Mary and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, let us go into Judea again. And the disciples said to him, Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you. Are you going there again? And Jesus answered, are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them. After saying this, he told them, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to awaken him. And the disciples said to him, Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he'll be all right. Jesus, however, had been speaking about Lazarus's death, but they thought he was referring merely to being asleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I'm going. Glad that I was not there so that you may believe, but now let us go to him. So Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, let us all go that we may die with him. When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had been already in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethlehem was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him while Mary stayed at home. And Martha said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him. And Jesus said to her, your brother will rise again. And Martha said to him, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day. And Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called for her sister Mary and told her privately, the teacher is here and is calling for you. So when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but he was still at the place where Martha had met him, and the Jews were with her in the house consoling her, saw Mary get up quickly and go out. And they followed Mary because they thought she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. And he said, where have you laid him? And they said to him, Lord, come and see. And Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, see how he loved him? But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. And Jesus said, take away the stone. But Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead for 4 days. And Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me. But I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth, and his face wrapped in a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. In the season of Lent, we are called to reflect. We are called to remember. We are called to recognize that out of the ashes, God breathed into us. And when we breathe our last to ashes, we shall return. That we cannot have this life life or that of eternal life without the gift of Jesus. Will you pray with me? Gracious and most holy God, thank you for the story of the resurrection of dry bones, for the story of the resurrection of Lazarus, that death does not have the last word, that there is hope for all of us. May the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and all God's people said, amen. Next week is Holy Week. We'll begin with celebration of palms and recognizing that Jesus will enter into Jerusalem. But before that happens, there are those who are plotting to end his life. That the journey that Jesus took was one that put his life into peril and those of his followers and the disciples at risk. And yet it was work that Jesus took on. It was work that Jesus did because it had been determined so long ago that we needed Jesus in order that we may have life. So Jesus has this relationship with Martha and Mary, and we often, you know, hear of Mary and Martha as Martha the one who was busy in the kitchen and Mary was the one loafing by the feet of Jesus, and Martha getting frustrated of like, I'm the one doing all of the work here, Jesus. Why don't you tell my sister to get up and do something? And Jesus tells Martha, well, she is doing what is good. And yet it is this Martha who is the first to greet Jesus when he is coming into town following the death of her brother. And she does. She kind of goes to Jesus, and they obviously had to have some type of good relationship because she said, hey, Jesus, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. Because she recognized that Jesus had the power to conquer death, to bring healing to those places of unexpectedness. And she calls him out for it. And Jesus says, oh, he's not dead, he's just asleep. But I'm doing this for God's glory. Kind of a, just you wait and see. So Martha goes and she has this very private conversation with her sister Mary. And Mary also goes out and they're not sure where she's going, but she goes and she finds Jesus. And she tells Jesus the exact same thing. If you had just been here, my brother would not have died. But she's saying it through snotty nose and weepy eyes. Like, I can imagine the ugly cry. Do you know what I mean? Like, it would have been fraught with emotion of like, oh, and now you're showing up? Seriously, Jesus? And Jesus says, he's not dead. He's asleep. Take me to where he is. And Jesus, too, is having these human emotions, right? Like, we see that he's disturbed in spirit, and he also cries, and he's anguished, and he is fully present with what Martha throws at him, fully present with what Mary throws at him, fully present with the disciples who say, are you sure you really want to go there? Because they're going to try to kill you. But Jesus steps into that space anyway. And they go to this tomb, which was really a cave, and there's a stone that is rolled. And they say, hey, you need to roll this stone away. And they're like, are you really sure you want to do that? Because I'm telling you, it's not going to smell good. Right? That there is a stench of death that they were anticipating, and it did not deter Jesus. So they rolled the stone away. And he called to Lazarus. Lazarus, come out. And so in Lazarus, in his death cloth, which is what is bound around his hands and his face and his body, Jesus doesn't speak to Lazarus. He speaks to the community that had gathered around the group of people and said, go unbind him so that he may go. Now, something I want you to remember is that touching dead bodies would have made you ritualistically unclean in this community. That you would not have been able to participate in the religious practices because you would have had to go through the process of washing yourself to sanctify yourself in order to be participating in this community. And yet Jesus is telling them, not only are we going to walk into the stench of death, but you're going to touch Lazarus so that he may be free to go and walk in new life. When we hear of the Valley of Dry Bones, it's one of Jane's favorite books because she's like, man, these visions are so crazy. And we hear this Valley of Dry Bones, and God is saying that I'm going to take what you would say is discarded as having no life, and I'm going to breathe into them and bind them back up together so that you can see that I am God. That there is life to be found even when you think it's over. And just as Jesus says, Lazarus is not asleep, his life is not over. I will show you what I mean. Friends, in the season of Lent, there are times when we may struggle. When those that we know may struggle with their own lives of maybe employment or maybe addictions or maybe they're not making the best choices. And I'm looking at my young people. You know, you've got your teachers that tell you to make good choices. But you, in order to make good choices, you kind of need to know what the bad choices are, right? But as a community of faith, we don't get to stand at a distance from these individuals. We don't get to stand apart from them to not make ourselves unclean by touching them or walking with them. Jesus tells us to help Lazarus unbind himself so that he may have life. And we are called to help those who are bound by the sins of this world that they may have new life. And just so that we have a common language about sin, because sometimes we're going to say, well, which one's the greatest sin? The greatest sin is those things that we do consciously and subconsciously that separate us from right relationship with God. And it doesn't matter if it's severe or minor, it is all sin. And it binds us and keeps us from living a true life in Christ. And thank goodness God is not done with us. I am the resurrection and the life. I am that echoes the word of God over Ezekiel that said, I am God. Watch and see what I can do. So, friends, what are those things that are binding you today? What are those things that maybe are keeping you from living your life fully as God intends it? And how can we help unbind you just as Christ unbounded us? For Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me shall not perish, but have eternal life. Let us live in that promise. Let us share that promise in the world, for it was first shared with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.